Good morning, Teachers on Fire. Thank you for joining me for this very special live event. As we wrap up 2023, this will be my actual last live broadcast of the year, but I'm very excited to bring you this special content. It's a different kind of interview. In fact, it's not really an interview. It's a debate, and we're going to be considering a very important topic this morning. Should phones, student phones, be banned from our K-12 schools? Well, I'm going to get into this shortly, but first of all, let me introduce our two guests. Opposing the idea of banning our phones from our K-12 schools is Christopher J. Nessie. Chris is a passionate educator, podcast host, and thought leader. With over 15 years of experience in the classroom, Chris has dedicated his career to helping educators integrate technology effectively and meaningfully into their instruction. Recently, Chris was recognized by his school community with Teacher of the Year honors. So congratulations, Chris, and welcome back to the Teachers on Fire podcast.
Tim, it's been too long.
It has been too long. It's really good to see you again, Chris. Supporting this resolution, this idea of banning phones, student phones from the K-12 context is another friend of the show, Dr. Matt Rhodes. Matt is an instructional and ed tech leader with hands in adult education, K-12 education, and higher ed. He has experience in leading professional development, coaching, and supporting teachers. Matt has also authored 7 books on instruction, education technology, and our ever-changing education landscape. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this.
Chris and Matt, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you to you both. I'm so excited to get into this very important issue. If you are joining us in the live broadcast, we'd love to hear your opinions, and maybe we'll say a quick hello to a few who are here. We've got, tuning in, Brian Carpenter on YouTube, coming to us from Abbotsford, BC, Canada. Good morning to you, sir. Good friend of all three of us, I would like to say. Alex is coming in to us from Freeport, Illinois. Good morning to you, Alex. We've got Cyril Shaw joining us, and he's on X as well. Good to see you, sir. And Naila on LinkedIn, good friend of the show as well, says, hi, Tim, Chris, and Matt. And Brian, let's see what he has to say. From the top, I say I'm not to ban cell phones. So we have someone on Team Chris. Dr. Dan Krynas, another good friend of the show here on YouTube, says, hey, gents, looking forward to the debate. So Chris, Dan, if you have a position on this, let us know. And maybe you're waiting to be convinced by one of these panelists. All right. So I've got my debate guide. And I want to tread carefully. I've decided not to time either of the panelists as they get into their arguments this morning. So we're going to leave that a little bit open-ended. But I guess I would say, guys, don't dominate the time too much. We want to probably aim for 1 to 2 minutes per point here as we get going with this question of, should student phones be banned from the K-12 environment? All right. Chris, are you ready to get going? And is there anything else that I left out from your bio? Anything else that you would add about your context?
Not that I can think of at this moment, but I would say if you want to learn more about me and what I do, go to chrisnessie.com.
All right. And we will definitely offer you those opportunities as well to share with our viewers where you can be found at the end of the broadcast. Dr. Matt, is there anything you would like to add about your context or your positioning on this issue?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, I've evolved in this issue and kind of changed over the course of the last really like 6 years. My views evolved over this, and I'm going to be posting a blog about this on Sunday with all my arguments. So if you are unable to view this now or want to see a full in-depth with links to the studies, etc., the blog will be posted on Sunday, so you can check it out then. And you can find that at MatthewRhodes.com.
MatthewRhodes.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Matt, for that. We've got Joshua here coming in from LinkedIn. High school principal in Mississippi. I agree with this proposition. So we've got one viewer on the side of banning student phones from the K-12 environment. Alex says, I'm against banning cell phones from a school crisis perspective, but I'm interested in hearing what Matt and Chris have to say about it. Brian says, play nice. And Dr. Dan says the middle school I'm in has banned phones this year, and I would say it has been nice not to have to worry about the potential distractions. Okay, for some reason, my nerves are really high right now, but I think that's just because I'm looking forward to seeing how this unfolds. First debate on the podcast. So, Chris, take it away with your first argument in favor, or rather opposing, a ban of phones in the school environment. Go for it.
You got it, Tim. All right, so first, I do want to say that I am against banning cell phones in schools. I want to make that perfectly clear. And my first reason involves the fact that it's 2023 and cell phones are these supercomputers that live in not only our pockets, but the pockets and backpacks of so many of our students, okay? Cell phones are powerful learning tools. There are endless numbers of apps, online resources that are available to our students both in the classroom and out of the classroom. These can supplement and support our curriculum and our instruction initiatives. They provide students with the opportunity to learn in a personal way, to kind of craft the experience for themselves. The tools are so powerful that we can offer interactive simulations. They can be used independent of the subject area. And depending on the various K-12 grade levels, there are different ways to incorporate them in a positive way at all grade levels, okay? They allow for easy research and collaboration. Students can quickly access information. I know in my high school history classroom, I am always able to tell students and ask students to quickly look up information and find information that isn't always available to them on a district issued device because of certain parameters and filters that are in place. And I can rely on students to be able to access more information, which I think models for them how to use their tool for more than just being a camera or a time suck consumption device. And of course, cell phones involve creativity and communication. And it's the world we're living in, okay? Phones facilitate multimedia presentations. They can create content. They can obviously consume some content, as we know. And they are too powerful not to have in the classroom. And I think that what makes it work best is finding the positive ways to do it. And there has to be some structure and some order. So to summarize my first point, they are simply too powerful not to be in our classrooms.
That's a good punchline to end on. Thank you, Chris, for that. Dr. Matt, before you get into your first argument in favor of the ban, is there anything you'd like to say in rebuttal of some of the points that Chris just made?
I would just say in regards to the devices, especially in North America, we spent billions of dollars to get these devices in the classrooms. So we already have so many issued devices that I think with the filters, I agree that some of them can be a little bit hindering at times, but what it comes down to is we have the devices and can provide those opportunities for students to do it with these devices and tools that we have in the classrooms that we've purchased.
Okay. So I think I hear what you're saying. I'm going to resist the urge to do any paraphrasing as we go along because I really want to keep this as neutral as possible.
Don't you put words in our mouth, Tim.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be so careful about that. So thank you, Dr. Matt, for that rebuttal. And now I'm going to turn it over to you for your first point in favor of banning student phones from the K-12 environment.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. I'm not sure how much you followed over the last couple of weeks with the PISA scores coming out on from 2022 and reading that report and just the debates that have raged on X and whatnot. And I was thinking of just the trends over the last 15 years. And I noticed really, and I continue to hypothesize this, is that scores were going up in reading from 2006 to around 2012. 2012 really, to me, reminds me of the year where smartphones were becoming very much ubiquitous. Everyone had one at that point and really began to, I think, overrun schools. And at that point, within these OECD countries, we started then at that point to start seeing this really fall in terms of scores from across the board in all these areas, not only in reading, but also We saw that increase in science up in 2012 and then going down from there. So I just think that these huge drops definitely, I think there's a relationship between these drops and the use of cell phones in schools. And also, too, in the report that I found that this was really interesting is just that students who reportedly felt distracted by devices in math class scored 15 points or lower on average on these tests. So it's, to me, I'm all for incorporating technology into instruction and utilizing it strategically with high impact strategies. But when it comes down to it, I don't think any teacher, I think you have a fair competition between the engagement of a phone and the distractions of a phone and what you're trying to provide in the classroom. You could be the best instructor in the world. There's a lot of competition with that phone. And in addition, there's a lot of, the number of hours young people spend on phones. And I think we all can admit we have a degree of addiction to them. I think that it was really interesting that just with this high degree of addiction that, it's there's a lot of other priorities that come about when that is there versus actually learning. And I think just removing them from the schools completely can create a more distraction-free zone within our classrooms and allows us to use technology strategically when we want to. And ultimately, I think that can improve just the learning and engagement of students in our classrooms. And we can just focus on that versus the million other things that are a distraction to our students. So I'm going to also talk about later on in my further arguments is that we can still teach the necessary digital skills that we live in the world that we're in with the devices that we have in our schools versus our students' personal devices.
Thank you so much for that, Dr. Matt. So again, to summarize that point or that set of arguments, you can see it there on your screen, falling PISA scores worldwide. And if you're not familiar with that, and Dr. Matt, clarify for me, that's the annual global tracking or measuring of how different countries, students in different countries around the world are performing against universal learning standards. I believe I have that right, right? Somewhat correct. Okay, good. So he says there's been a trend of a decline around the world since the introduction of phones in 2012. Chris, is there anything that you would like to say in response or in rebuttal to some of the things you just heard?
Of course I do. Should some blame be placed on the phones? Sure. But I taught in a world pre-2012, and there's all sorts of distractions outside of cell phones. Right. So students will always find ways to be distracted or get off task. And students can always find something else to do that's not what we want them to do at any given moment. So to put a lot of the blame on cell phones, I think is unfair, to be honest. I mean, we have, there's a lot of socioeconomic disparities that are affecting students worldwide. We have changing or not changing curriculum for the students in the classrooms. And just overall, we got a lot of testing fatigue in general. So could we see falling test scores be attributed to the fact that students just don't want to take tests and don't want to click and bubble and go through the whole assessment procedure? Right? I mean, in my school, we stop ringing the bells from about the middle of October till the end of May, because at any given moment, you're going to be interrupting testing. So There's a lot of assessment going on. And I don't know if cell phones are going to be the big piece that if we were to ban them, all of a sudden, we're going to see this rise in assessment and test scores.
Thank you for that, Chris. I want to go back to a comment here from Brian Carpenter. This one is important, and it sort of clarifies our conversation today. He says, are cell phones kind of synonymous with BYOD laptops and tablets that students are permitted to bring to school? Is it the cell phone or a non-tethered district device? So that's an important question. And my answer, I hope we're all three of us are on the same page here. We're really focused on phones. So we're head nodding. Okay, so we're all focused on phones. So laptops, Brian, separate conversation. You raised the the prospect of tablets. I don't actually haven't really seen many tablets come to school, but I suppose that is a thing as well. Or I suppose some students are bringing iPads and whatnot. But we're really focused on phones. Phones are a unique device for obvious reasons. Number one, they fit easily into pockets. So that's that frames our conversation. Yeah, Chris, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Dan Krynas in the chat, his recent comment, he says, I think we need to be careful of using the word addiction. He thinks that dependency may be a better way of looking at it. However, not a chemical dependency like other legitimate types of addiction. And I know Dan is not in this conversation, but I will say that addiction is absolutely the appropriate term to use based on what and how the cell phones are designed and some different documentaries I'm sure a lot of us have seen here or watching right now. We are absolutely addicted to our phones based on the chemical reactions that take place, right? Cell phone use and social media use is right up there with, you know, drinking and gambling in terms of what it does to our brains, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I'm quoting a little bit from Simon Sinek that, you know, we have rules and laws around access to gambling and alcohol, but for students, yes, we get, here's the cell phone, here's the social media, right? So does the same thing.
Thank you for that, Chris. Before we get into our next round, let's just catch up with some of the other comments coming in from our viewers. Very interested to hear your opinions on this. Barry on LinkedIn says people railed against calculators, too powerful not to be used. Definitely. I mentioned a comment or displayed a comment from Dan about SEL. We'll see if that comes into the discussion a little bit later on. Brian is asking, AI in the classroom, new technology in classrooms, district devices provide distractions to students, but because they are not always in the hands of students. Okay. I think Brian is trying to say that that laptops also carry with them their own set of concerns. And yes, fair enough for a separate conversation, perhaps. Joshua on LinkedIn says the amount of headaches during school from Snapchat and now AI is terrible. Brian again says, how about normalize the phone in society and talk about humanness and focus in a very distracted world? Practice in school where it's safe first. We talked about Dan's comment regarding addiction. And Brian again says a student in gym class wanted to read a book when they were out as opposed to cheering on their teams. A book is a distraction. Okay. All right. Interesting comparison. So we're moving into argument number two, round number two. We're going back to Chris now. And remember, Chris is against the resolution banning student phones in our K-12 environment. So Chris is going to lead an argument here along the lines of digital citizenship and responsibility. Chris, take it away.
So, right. Cell phones, I believe that that's one of the great ways that we can promote responsible digital citizenship for our students, because like we just said in one of the comments here in the chat, this is the world that we live in, right? Do any of us not use our phones at all for the 6.5 to 8 hours a day that we are at school? Yes, some jobs and careers, you know, you can't be on your phone, and, you know, some of those first jobs, you know, you might not be allowed to have your phone out and things like that. But the world we live in, the phone is there, right? The access at our fingertips to information and entertainment is not going away. So one of the things that needs to fall on the shoulders of schools and teachers, and I say this as a classroom teacher, we have to make this a part of what we do in terms of how to be responsible and teach some of the regulation. I mean, we're already tasked with raising kids in so many different ways anyway as classroom teachers. This has to be a part of it, okay? Students certainly need to learn how to evaluate information, how to discern reliable sources. So when we're in the classrooms and we have access to the world's knowledge at our fingertips, that is a valuable thing. And we need to instill in our students how to do that responsibly, all right? Using digital platforms on phones and these devices, this allows our students in a school setting to practice healthy online communication. I can say for my high school students, you know, leveraging something like Google Classroom, I encourage all my students to add the Google Classroom app on their phone. I let my students post to the Google Classroom. I don't restrict them, but it's a place where they can interact in a positive way. All the clubs at my school, we all have club Instagram accounts, and some of the students manage those accounts along with their club advisors. So we've got kids all the time that are taking pictures, posting video, attending events, and there's opportunities there to learn how to use these tools responsibly. Okay. And my final point for this, it's an essential life skill, right? Students will gain time management and to learn when it's appropriate to put it away. If you just outright ban them, how will the student know when it's appropriate or not appropriate if for that really large period of time during a day, they can't be on it, right? And during the pandemic, they were home, they were virtual, and they didn't learn that, right? Because they had to be on their laptops, they were distracted in all sorts of ways. And, you know, this is a real opportunity in education to kind of change that narrative. So they should, again, they should be there. And this is one reason why, to teach them how to be responsible and be good digital citizens.
Thank you for that, Chris. Dr. Matt, that's an argument that you will hear around. I'm sure you've engaged with already on X. And I should have mentioned that this whole show, this program was sort of inspired by a tweet that you made weeks ago. And I'm sure you got a lot of comments, more than you could handle in response. So you've probably seen this argument. You've heard some of these arguments as well in the past, that cell phones promote digital citizenship and responsibility. How do you respond?
I think theoretically, in the best of best worlds, this is true. Although I have to, you know, when you take in human nature, you take in adolescents, you take in kids. The reality is that it's not in practice. It's when you have thousands of kids in one spot, it's just the logistics, just being able to promote that citizenship in every single class, and just the behavior that's occurring that we don't see during those hours in school. I think that we just can't trust. I'm on the pendulum of not trusting students in this regard. I think that that depends on your dispositions. So I think that people that, you know, are on my side of that disposition of, I don't trust students in that way because of just the simple human nature of it, of their behavior and what I've seen and heard and experienced. So I think that without the phones, it's better. We can still teach digital citizenship. We can still model it to our students using devices. And ultimately, as I'm going to argue later, I think that, you know, the ability for them to not communicate in that manner on the social media platforms during school or texting will actually improve their overall mental health and satisfaction with school. So I just feel that Chris presents a great argument. I think in the best of best environments that that's like the ideal. It's like the lighthouse on the hill aspiration. But in reality, I don't view that as the reality of probably 95% of schools that we see in North America.
Thank you, Dr. Matt, for that. All right. So getting into your
I come back? I got to come back in.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little outside of our structure, but go ahead.
So, Matt, can you just make that lighthouse analogy again?
I just feel like that the, you know, for the cell phones and just modeling the digital citizenship with the phones and having them all out in schools across the country, with just overall just the freedom to have them available and out. I think it's just that, you know, if we're looking at the vast majority of North American schools, you know, what you're presenting is, I think, the ideal scenario. But in reality, I think 95% of these schools, it would create far more problems than the goals in reality that you are describing.
And that may be true, but I think an outright ban eliminates the opportunity or the possibility of striving for that ideal scenario. So I just see it as, we need to give kids the opportunity to rise up. If we outright ban it, then we're saying they can't ever do that or learn that. So I just wanted to rebuke the rebuttal.
Point well taken, Chris. I hear clearly what both of you are saying there. Now, Dr. Dan Krynas, another, as I said, friend of the show earlier, mentioned SEL, and that's going to connect with Dr. Matt's next main argument. So let's get into that one. He's focusing here on phone addiction, lack of focus, loss of student autonomy, and mental health. So Dr. Matt, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I know that as educators, we've all seen this and we've seen the studies about really the decline of student mental health over the last number of years. Even before the pandemic, we saw, we've seen this. And I think that a lot of studies show that there's a strong relationship between the use of these devices and the decline of their mental health. For example, I'm mentioning this in my blog. There was a study done in Wu 2022 related to over 1,500 high school students described that, you know, there's so much cyberbullying, it's caused depression, and it just the direct of the, you know, the surveys and whatnot and the interviews that they did, it really just demonstrated that it was a major cause of this depression of students. And especially at the high school level and middle school level, I think this is very prevalent. And we only as educators see the tip of the iceberg of what's going on. And I don't envy any principal right now to be in this scenario of looking at phones because of the cyberbullying that's going on. And I think that the cyberbullying is, it really is out of control. And I think that our students deserve better. We need to put them in a situation where we can at least during 7 hours a day, maybe there'll be a little bit less of that during school hours. We can't control what's going on outside of school. I think that, you know, parents need to parent their children in regards to their phone use. I see too many, families just have their phones out all day and they give the two-year-old an iPad at dinner. I just think that we just need to at schools not have students have access to opportunities for where they can cyberbully and treat other students terribly. I know that there's going to be bullying that will happen just from person to person communication, but we've just seen such a decline in our students' mental health. And I think that with opportunities for us to at least mitigate some of what's going on in terms of the bullying, that can help. And also too, I think maybe a number of hours off social media, especially on like TikTok or Instagram, will do our students a good, help them as well with their mental health because of their, as I said, that they're addicting, as well as can help ruin a student's self-esteem and self-image because of, you know, these aren't really the reality of what's going on in the world. So I also think that the loss of student autonomy is really important as well, because I think students at, especially if we're looking at upper elementary and middle school, and even in high school, I think that students should be allowed to explore social connections with people in person and understand that building those connections human to human is extremely important. And really, you're building those emotional intelligence skills in person. And ultimately, we do want to model those skills with digital devices as students get older. But we need to build that strong foundation before, you know, we give them that ultimate freedom to access all this information and these platforms. So that's my argument for this section.
Thank you, Dr. Matt. So I like how you've broken down your arguments. I know you're getting into the antisocial behaviors a little bit more further on, but in this segment, we're talking about all of the negative consequences, according to you, that come with student phone use. So, Chris, you've heard these arguments before. What's your response when you see this list here on the bottom of the screen?
Let's look at the bottom of the screen. Phone addiction, lack of focus, loss of student autonomy, mental health crisis. What comes to mind, Tim, and Matt, and everybody who's watching and listening, is cell phones are not the root cause of the mental health crisis that a lot of students are facing in the world today. Okay. We need to really focus on the underlying issues, right? Again, socioeconomic, some of these family issues that students are facing. All right. They're bringing a lot more, for lack of better words, baggage into school. Okay. Than I remember when I was growing up or even when I started teaching. And I think schools are doing a better job, but need to do an even better job providing mental health resources that promote not just all around mental health, happiness, right? But also healthy technology habits. And if they're not getting it at home, where are they going to get it? Right? We've got them for 6.5 to 7 hours a day in school where when these issues come up, schools should be better equipped to support them. Okay. And again, when it comes to self-regulation, that to me, that's a classroom management thing, right? What are you doing as a classroom teacher to promote positive digital citizenship? What are you doing with the rules and expectations of your classroom that promote positive use, you know, to be able to put the phones away or be off the phone? Right. I mean, I know what I do in my classroom to promote and have them still be a part of the classroom, but you know, and every teacher is different, which goes back to the issue of how are we preparing teachers to deal with the world that they're going to be teaching in? Right. Which as Tim has said a couple times, that's probably an issue for another episode on another show. Right. And then obviously technology for mental health. There's a lot of apps and online resources that we can teach students how to access and use their phone to kind of not solve some of the issues that they might be dealing with or going through, but there are ways that they can use apps and technology through their phone to kind of work through some issues and things. So again, I think they need to be seen more as a tool. And somebody mentioned that I'm more of an optimist. Yes, 100%. I am very much the optimistic point of view. And, you know, we've all been burned at times of seeing the best in people, but I will continue to do that. So it's apropos that I'm on the Teachers on Fire podcast, as I might get burned one day. Who knows? But I think there's enough out there that we should be doing more to support these kids with whatever mental health things that they are dealing with and going through.
Chris, as long as you're on fire and not burning out, that's all I'm concerned with. Thank you so much, Chris. I think these points, one more time from Dr. Matt, wherever you sit on them, this is a really key part of the argument right here. Do you think that phones are actively contributing to decline in our students' mental health and behavior or not? So you heard the arguments for both sides. We are starting to wind down, but we're going to move to round three, the third and final round of arguments. And Chris is going to take this one with an argument about communication and safety. And just before I turn it back to Chris, let's check in with our audience. We see a few more friends here. AJ Bianco is here. Welcome, AJ. Good to see you here. Naila says, absolutely. Chris is on point with this. Dr. Dan says, Brian, I like the idea of a progression. Let's see. Brian, again, never thought about getting burned as a teacher on fire. Mark Ryan from the Middle East, great to have you on LinkedIn, says, Chris is crushing the rounds with opportunity and optimism, something we need for students. And Naila says, the cell phone is a great tool to use, especially when used in a more positive way. Okay, interesting. Thank you so much for chiming in. Chris, take it away with your third and final round of arguments on this idea of communication and safety, which we know safety is something every school community needs desperately.
Desperately might be an understatement, Tim, but yeah, the world we live in, you know, we're seeing more extreme events happening in education than ever before. And it seems that something happens every day, which I would like to one day believe would be an exaggeration, but we know that that's not the world that we live in. Cell phones in schools allow parents to reach their children easily in case of emergencies or unexpected situations. Now, somebody might think, well, parents, just call the main office. I'm sorry. Parents are not calling the main office to reach their child. We say it, Tim, you're an administrator in a school. I'm sure you try to have parents call. I'm sure you've said it 1,000 times. You want to reach your kid? Call the main office. Tim, how many phone calls do you get from parents trying to reach their child via the main office?
Not many.
There you go. And by not many, I'm going to assume zero. So parents want their students to be accessible, right? In the case of an emergency, you want to be able to reach your child. I have an 11-year-old. He's got a phone. And am I the parent who's texting him during the day? No. One, I'm working, so I can't be texting my kid while I'm working. But he's got the opportunity to text, you know, the bus is late. I missed the bus. I'm walking home. So there is that communication from parent to child that I think is important. And if you try and take that away, parents are going to come out in full force because they would oppose that. Now, are there going to be parents and people who say, that's fine, take my kid's phone, just make sure they get it back at some point? Sure. But the far majority of the crowd is going to be, I want my kid to have a phone. I paid for the phone. They need to have it. Okay. Also, school in general. Schools can, again, if we go back to being optimistic and how we can leverage the devices for good, schools could do a little bit more to disseminate important information via maybe school district apps or school apps. You know, again, I tell all my high school kids, you got to have that Google Classroom app, or, you know, we have the Remind 101's Reminds group set up there. It shows my age with technology. So to be able to, again, use the technology in a positive way and get kids exposed to that. Okay. So also being prepared for emergencies, right? We never know what's going to happen in a school in an emergency, and people need to be able to reach other people. So that's my biggest argument for it. Yes, you're going to have school districts that will say, you know, we'll disseminate the information, you know, from the principal or, you know, school PR committees. But I think just the world we live in, students need to know and be able to maybe feel that sense of comfort, and families need to have that sense of comfort for people who have their cell phones.
So I think a lot of people do think that phones can help with ease of mind and security, but in reality, if we do have, you know, God forbid, a situation, an assailant on campus, I think using phones could actually be a distraction from their action, you know, from someone's actions and taking a moment, such as running, hiding, and listening to directions. You know, also the sound of the phone ringing and vibrate could alert the someone that's an assailant on campus where you're hiding. You know, and I think that people, you know, don't also recognize that people could be monitoring social media, and people could be posting on social media channels about where their location is. So I think in reality, I think phones, they may seem as some, you know, you have a peace of mind with them. But in reality, during these situations, I think that a lot of security experts do think that it could actually be more of a security risk than actually you know, a benefit to security, you know, for safety. So I just think it's something that we should think twice before thinking that phones are going to keep us safe in those situations.
Hold on, Matt, I'm going to jump. We also have security experts who believe that the best way to operate, say, in a lockdown situation is to hide in the corner, right? There are experts that say, close the door, cover the windows, go hide in the corner. Some people call that the wait to die way to approach school emergencies. But then you have other experts that promote a whole different way of dealing with a campus emergency where, you know, every kid grabs something. I believe I think it's called Alice training, where, again, so we've got this idea of school safety, and we've got experts that believe there's multiple ways to approach these on-campus emergencies. So I think we need to be cautious of how we throw around the idea of what the experts say in terms of safety and what role cell phones would or would not play.
No, I totally understand that. I just know, just as being a on campus during large lockdowns, I would say in my career upwards almost 8 to 10 times that, you know, I think that the phones could cause a lot more chaos than they would actually keep people safe. Just from what the experts say in personal experience, I can attest that, you know, I think we want as much an orderly exit and as possible when these things happen, and any distraction from that, you know, I think could get people hurt. That's just my opinion, just from my lived experiences. I just know that this is something that educators experience far too often, especially in the United States. And I'm just hopeful that, you know, with this cell phone debate, I think that we just all need to really think about what is actually keeping us safe, and what can we do to, you know, make our schools as safe as possible. And that's going to get me to my last piece in a moment, my last argument.
All right, let me make sure I'm at the right position here. So Chris talked about communication and safety. Thank you, Dr. Matt, for your rebuttal. We're now to Dr. Matt with his last argument, focusing in on this issue of bullying, fights, and safety concerns. Go ahead, Dr. Matt.
Yeah, I just think that sadly, just the reality is that the bullying is out of control in schools, and the phones, you know, are, you know, ultimately one of the major problems of when it's happening during school hours. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, we can't control what happens before and after school with the phones. But during those 7 hours or so that we have students, you know, we can stop at least some of that communication that's taking place in those areas. It's, you know, it could be a great benefit, because I think in schools that really struggle with fights and whatnot taking place, I think taking the phones away can stop organizing these fights taking place in these schools and at least stop some of the bullying. I can't, you know, we can't say that we'll eliminate all of this, but I think that there would be, you know, a positive relationship with taking away the phones and less of those types of behaviors happening in schools. So ultimately, I think it would increase safety as well, with not having these bullying incidents taking place as high as they were before, as well as the organization of fights. So I think that many can attest from places where they have taken away from phones that behaviors have improved across the board. And it's, you know, I'd love to hear from more people that has had their phones banned in their schools and how that has affected the students' behavior in terms of bullying, and has there been less fights? I just want to hear from the audience if anyone has heard or seen that in their experience. And that's my point for my last part of this argument, is I think it will just create a safer experience for students with less bullying and hopefully less fights as a result.
Thank you, Dr. Matt. Chris, you've heard these arguments and you work in a high school as well, so I'm curious to hear what your experience has been with this issue. How do you respond to this argument about phones promoting a bullying culture?
I don't know that phones promote a bullying culture, because, again, all the issues that we've talked about, these are issues and problems that the education system has faced long before there were cell phones in schools and technology in general. Right. I mean, if I go tech for a second with AI, kids were cheating before there was AI. Kids were going to cheat after AI. Right. Bullying, fighting. Kids were bullying each other before there was technology in schools. Kids were fighting before there was technology in schools. They're going to continue to do that. Right. That's I don't want to say that's part of growing up, but that's some of the lessons that students learn as they're going through, you know, their formative years. So, again, banning them, kids will still find a way to make each other feel like crap, and they will still find a way to put up their dukes and fight. And whether that's being organized on Snapchat or, you know, word of mouth through the bathrooms, right? It's still going to happen. I will concede that maybe not having the cell phones makes it a little harder for that to happen. But again, kids are resilient in so many ways. They will find a way for those things to still happen in schools. So I don't know if the ban, and I think Matt hinted at this, the ban is not going to completely solve it, but maybe it does restrict or limit how fast they can do it. But then they'll bounce back and maybe they'll start passing notes.
That's a nice throwback. Thank you both so much to our viewing audience and to the listeners on the podcast. I think you've heard some really good arguments. I'm going to give our guests a final opportunity to summarize their main points. And gentlemen, I've kept you both over time. Thank you so much for your generosity this morning as we explore all angles of this issue together with our viewing audience. But yes, you've heard, I think, a really good presentation of the main arguments in each corner. So Chris, go ahead and share your final encapsulating statement, and you're welcome to recap your main arguments for our viewers as well, if you'd like.
Well, I'm going to say I'm not going to really recap it. Somebody who's listening or watching, rewind it, watch it again, give Tim another download, give him more YouTube viewing time. All right. It's on demand. But I will say this, and I really, somebody else, and I forget who said it in the chat, but the idea that my point of view is optimistic and open-minded, and that's important, right? With anything that we're doing in education. And I don't think that the arguments that Matt made or that I made for or against, there are more arguments that can be made for and against, right? This is six small samples, right? And I'm sure people who are watching, they are thinking, wait, but what about this? But what about this? Okay. Yes, there's a lot more. But I'll finish with, we didn't solve the problem here. And I don't think that was the goal of coming together. So for somebody who's listening to this or watching this, I think you've got more to think about. And ultimately, I think you need to do what's best for you, your school, your community. And it's not just a superintendent who should make a decision about to ban or not ban. It shouldn't just be the principal choosing to ban or not ban. It's got to be, like with anything good that should happen in education, it's a community effort. And every community is going to be a little bit different. But maybe what we've put here today gives people a little bit more to think about one way or the other.
Beautifully put, sir. That was very classy, and I've really appreciated the tone of this discussion. I know Brian said play nice at the beginning, but you both, that's never been in doubt. That's never been in question here. Dr. Matt, your final closing statements, and again, you're welcome to recap your main arguments or put that icing on the cake. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to mention is that, you know, with all that I said, I think that we can still model good digital citizenship with the devices that we have in our schools. I don't think we need phones to be able to do that. And I think that we just need to be strategic with how we're implementing technology in our classrooms. And I think if we can model that to our students, then ultimately we can teach them the skills they need, as well as, I think, navigating phone use to executive functioning skills to navigate a world where you have one of the most distracting and addicting things in your life that can be accessed right next to you. So ultimately, I hope that this conversation just leads to more reflection and thought about your current context. Everyone's context is different. We've only grazed the surface of this argument on both sides. And I think that this is a decision that it takes a lot of stakeholders that you're in your community as well as within your school to come to a decision. But I think that it's something that we should be thinking a lot about within our school board meetings, as well as at our school sites and in classrooms, having these discussions so that we can, put forth solutions to help our students, learn, achieve, and, have a really fun and satisfactory experience in schools.
Thank you so much, Dr. Matt. Thank you both for sharing your time with the broadcast today. As we wrap up, you're both education leaders. I highly respect each of you. You are creating actively. Chris, go ahead and let the viewers and the listening audience know where they can reach you and what you've got coming up.
You can obviously, as I mentioned at the beginning, check out my website, chrisnessy.com. I host the House of EdTech podcast, and that's a great podcast to listen to, not because I host it, but because it's a good podcast to listen to. So that's where you can connect with me, get my socials, and I would love to continue this conversation and many others that revolve around technology in education, in schools, and chrisnessy.com.
I know Chris has been putting out some great content recently around AI. So make sure to check in with him and the House of EdTech. And Dr. Matt, same question to you. Where can the listeners find you and what have you got cooking?
Yeah. So, you can all follow me on X at MattRhodes1990 or on Instagram, DrRhodesEDU or, Matthew Rhodes on not on Instagram, but LinkedIn, posting a lot of blogs recently. Going to be finishing up this, blog on banning phones, and then I got a couple more books in the works, hopefully one coming out in January and then one coming out in July. So but I'm actually happy that I'm on break now. It's nice that on winter break now get to relax and do some content creation outside of work, and definitely looking forward to connecting. And you can connect on my website at MatthewRhodes.com.
So good. Thank you again to you both. Thank you to the live viewers and the listeners on the podcast. We've really appreciated your input this morning. It's added to our conversation as we've tackled this all important and difficult question, I think, for every school community. How do we respond to phones, student phones in the learning environment? Do we ban them or do we embrace them? That was the question this morning. Friends, this is my last broadcast. This is my last live broadcast of the calendar year. So I am signing off with these two gentlemen. Couldn't do it with better colleagues. I am going to say goodbye. Have a Merry Christmas or however you observe the holidays. I hope you find opportunities to heal, do that deep recharge, be refreshed, and come back in 2024 with renewed aspirations and clarity and goals for further growth and learning, both for yourself and for your students. Thank you for tuning in and supporting the podcast. I appreciate you. And Happy New Year, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye. I never answer to no, man. I still go. Go, 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 yo, go, go, go. Hustle hard, hustle every single day. I'll be making moves till I'm buried.